You're on mute again, Laura. And as we all air drum along, we are back on the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast, marginally more sober than we were last time. And I still haven't, at this point, finished editing the last double episode special because there was a lot of rambling at the end. Some of it, very insightful. I just haven't found that bit yet. giggling over there is one third of the troublemakers that we had last weekend is Laura. Over on the other side there is the main troublemaker, probably, John.
Hello.
Who can't remember typing bad words into Skype.
I was going to say today Morgan has been replaced by a curtain, but no.
No. And over there is the person who took charge and fired me. It's Morgan.
Hello.
A bit more modest this time. Oh, yeah, I haven't been fired yet. That's good. Right, so we are back, and we are on to whatever season this is. Nine, is it?
Nine. Well, technically eight, if we ignore the last season didn't happen.
Unfortunately, we can't do that. We have to acknowledge the crap, even though it was crap. So we're on to season nine, and I thought before we got into this episode straight away, I thought it might be an idea, given that I can't remember what we said last time. What were we expecting from this series? Because I think we mentioned it once or twice that season eight was shit. I don't know if it came up very often, but I think it got mentioned once or twice. So we don't need to mention that again, although we have. But given the depths plumbed by Robots of Sherwood, etc., what were our hopes and anticipations as season nine dawned? Don't go talking off camera with mouthing, because it doesn't, you know, I can see, but I just can't hear. And then I think you're summoning your servants. Right. What was the question? What do we think of season nine? What were we expecting? What were we hoping for?
We were hoping it'd be better.
Yeah, I came into the series with no hope whatsoever. I had been beaten so severely by series eight that I was just hopeful for maybe one or two good episodes, passable episodes.
I think I might have been of a similar mindset, I think. Although Missy being around lifted season eight, as we did manage to mention. So I think I was kind of hopeful for her, but not too sure what the rest would bring. And cautious, I think, is the word I would use.
That's fair. But yeah, I went into this with pure apathy. Pure apathy, which the episode manages to turn on its head within the first 90 seconds.
Are you sure it's 90 seconds?
Yeah, first 90 seconds. Within the first 90 seconds, I am changed. And I am looking forward to the series.
I think it's 2 minutes. I have actually managed to do, I realise that's only a 30-second window of difference. I have managed to actually do a very brief bit of prep for this one in that I started watching it, and I'd forgotten what a good start this series gets off to. I'm not going to say any more, so that we can go ooh and ah when we hit play. But it set a darker, more menacing tone, I felt.
It wasn't even the fellow's menacing. There's just one little thing that happens which grabs your attention, and you're thinking, "Oh, this is where they're going with this series." Then, okay.
Is that the bit where Clara explodes in the classroom, and we all go, "Way!"
Yes, that's exactly it.
Sorry, I've spoiled it for everyone now.
I know.
Right. Editing the last episode, I realised I say right a lot, as if to sort of start a sentence. I was saying it an awful lot last time because I was trying to interrupt and it didn't go well. Anything else we want to add before we dive in?
No, there's something that I will comment on, but I'll probably do it through the episode.
Is it actually about the episode?
It is about the episode.
And the comparison with which series of Buffy?
No. We're on to Firefly now. What season of Firefly? Season one.
Yep. I still think season two is going to be great.
Just as long as
Joss Whedon doesn't do anything stupid, like come out as a complete arsehole, we're going to be fine. Right, on that case, are we feeling set and ready to dive in to, what's this one called? The Wizard's Apprentice. Is that right?
Totally am.
Magician's Apprentice.
A Magician's Apprentice, that was it.
Magician's Apprentice, Sorceress's Sorcery.
As I recall, a lot of the episode titles this year are just bear no resemblance whatsoever to what the episode's actually about.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting something else when I saw the title, and that wasn't what I got. In that case, dear listener.
Laura has a different take, but.
Yeah, we'll come to that later on. More so with the second episode, but.
Look at that. Teasing the audience already. I like it. In that case, dear one and all, dear listener, as ever, when we press play, you press play, and we will talk you through whatever the hell this thing is called, Apprentices and Magic People. And in, are we ready? Good?
Yep. Yes.
In 3, 2, 1, and play.
Of course, the real bad thing about this episode title is the fact that the Magician's Apprentice only earned £72 per week.
Well, that's what you get for being an apprentice at Amazon.
Yep. Just when you say, dear listener, if you're ready, blah, 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 etc., I've just reminded that Stephen King, whenever he writes kind of stuff at the beginning of books, he says constant reader. But when we say dear listener, we do probably literally mean one person.
Yeah, we do.
Whereas Stephen King's using it like to count for his millions of fans.
Well, we could count our fans in millions, but we're more modest and realistic.
Fractions of a million.
Yeah.
1 million of a million.
Not even that much, but we treasure who we have. And if anybody ever wants to actually visit the Unsalted Popcorn page and comment on any of the pictures I do for episodes, then feel free. It'd be nice to actually find out what you think about our ramblings. Just be nice. Don't say anything nasty.
We've got some 5-star reviews on iTunes, remember?
We have.
And none of them are from me.
I keep meaning to give one, but I keep forgetting. At this point, I was curious as to why he had a bow and arrow and there was a Sopwith camel.
You have, Morgan.
It's about this point I'm thinking, okay, this is interesting. This is like nothing we saw in Series 8, which was the opposite of interesting.
Yes.
It's like, okay, this is cool. Obviously, at this point, we know the Doctor's going to appear.
Oh, but do we? Maybe we're going to get an entire episode without the Doctor. How exciting would that be?
Oh, Doctor where?
Whereas Season 8 was all Doctor why?
Doctor Clara.
Clara. Yeah, that's just a general. Oh, hello. This harkens back a little bit to Listen, doesn't it? Get me tying in episodes. Hands grabbing ankles.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't happen.
No blackboards on either.
Yeah, everything's fine.
No one's written on a blackboard yet.
It'd be great if they just, like, their hands came up and then they just went... Obviously, again, visual medium.
This is the dramatisation of the football fans rising up to complain about all the millions ruining football.
And
can we just comment how wonderful their hand-eye coordination is here?
Fucking hell.
No, we're not going down that road already.
For that to happen, do you have to plant fingernails in the earth? And it grows a hand? How does that work?
You just bite your nails and then you flick it into the soil.
Yeah, I think that is the way of these things. I've never actually tried growing a whole hand.
I mean, you could have turned up to save the other guy a few minutes ago, couldn't you?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? For a Time Lord, his timing is usually pretty shit.
I'm actually surprised someone hasn't gone online and said, oh, well, they let the black guy die.
It's the modern equivalent of the red outfit in Star Trek, isn't it?
And now in Doctor Who, they go, oh, my God, I can't believe they saved the black guy. And it was a woman, no less.
I know. It says, what's the world coming to?
That's what I'm coming to. Just, it's political correctness gone mad. Doctor's rescuing minorities now.
It'll be a woman next, you see.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could have got a better child actor. Or were they all busy in Harry Potter that week?
This is 4 years after the release of the final Harry Potter film.
Oh, okay, they've got no excuse.
Maybe they were doing reshoots. The Snyder Cut.
God, can you imagine the Snyder Cut of Harry Potter 7A? 7.5 hours of trekking about with a tent.
7.5 hours of Dobby mourning. And probably transphobia.
Oh, well, obviously that comes...
I'm just going to throw that one in there.
That just comes as standard.
Exactly. The first four hours of Dobby mourning, then we've still got some... Let's talk about transphobia. I will say in the defence of every single actor, I think, that's in Harry Potter, they've all stood up now that they're not getting a paycheck.
From Apart from Robbie Coltrane.
Oh, all right, okay, so...
Apart from Robbie Coltrane.
Yes.
Fucking Scottish people, eh?
I still think of the ones who have stood up and defended her. They haven't defended her stance. They've defended the accusations and the alleged hatred that comes flying at her without being fully informed of what is at the base of it all. I think I think there's still an awful lot of people who don't want to see what's actually going on.
Yeah.
Can I also just point out we managed to talk over the shocking bit?
Nope.
As in, we didn't talk over it or don't mention it?
Don't mention it.
Oh, okay.
Don't mention I made such a big thing of it and then we didn't. And then Moody music is playing.
And that's some sort of...
Father, ooh. Why are all the women weeping? Apparently is the lyrics, which I did not know.
I did not know that.
Which is moody music.
You see the wonders of subtitles, isn't it?
Yep.
See, that's what happens when you fall asleep on a barbecue.
See, this is... I think it's like a weird... almost parallel in this intro to the start of A Good Man Goes to War.
Yeah.
Which is why I like it.
Yeah.
It's the same place, isn't it?
In the Moldavian... Yeah, Moldova.
Yeah.
In Moldova.
Moldovirovian. I mean, it's got a little bit of a sort of... Well, if I'm being critical, sort of... Star Wars, Mos Eisley kind of vibe going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cantina.
Yeah. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. same song again.
I know, they must just get sick of that. Where is the doctor? Where is the
doctor? And the Shadow Proclamation.
Now, how is that a place? I've had that problem with some for some time. That can't be a place.
Why?
Because you can't live in a proclamation. You proclaim it.
Maybe it's a misspelling and it's a proclamation. Proclonation. We are the nation of proclos.
It's Russell T. Davis's fault, though, isn't it? Because he kept talking about whenever the doctor...
Oh, yeah, the Shadow Proclamation. And this is like, I'm taking you to the Shadow Proclamation.
But what? Yeah, because what he used to do was like Article 16 of the Shadow Proclamation, blah, 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 states that you shouldn't eat bananas on a Tuesday. And he would always just kind of throw that in when they wanted David Tennant to try and do one of those speech things that he wasn't very good at. And then there was just a point, I think it was the penultimate episode of season 4, where I'd take you a Shadow Proclamation. Like, right, okay, well, just expecting a big piece of paper.
Yeah, it's a library.
They still can't spell my name right. Go back to the previous scene quickly. I kind of like the fact that that's a very, it's the right episode for now, because her hair was pure lockdown hair. He gets about a bit, this boy, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, this is we were talking about how the first 90 seconds of this, where I was like, "Ooh, this is much better." But I pretty much thought the same thing. I thought it was really good, but I'm looking back now and just see the kind of hands with the eye stuff. So I think it's just Stephen Moffat, isn't it? It's just kind of going, "Oh, what we do next, right? Hands,
yeah,
with eyes, rather than landmines."
I can't wait till the enemy is made literally of head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
I kind of like that they brought.
Hopefully, there's a second verse so they get features on their face.
Oh, I like that. I kind of like that they bring these guys back.
It does. Yeah, so three episodes there, not two, yeah. As we said back in
whenever it was.
Not by the Doctor.
Yeah. I think it ties it in nicely with the past.
Is this pre or post Eight to War regeneration? I wonder.
In terms of the Doctor's
in linear, terms of just the time frame.
In terms of his timeline, that's a good question.
Is it shortly after, or is this a long time in the future? Because we don't know how long the system of calm live.
I think it's a long time in the future because. He's saying about kind of facing Davros sort of thing, blah, blah, blah. And Davros is definitely post-Time War Davros.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think. Unless something happens that changes my mind on that.
Oh, here he is. Sleeping on the job as usual.
Considering how good a job Julian Beach does as Davros, that he has not been brought back in 6 years.
Yes.
But numerous Master appearances, and since the revival, two stories with Davros.
Also,
it's not as if he's doing anything else, because he's hardly in anything.
Also, given how much fans love to rip Chibnall a new one for ripping up the canon and starting again, how do we have Davros now waving the sonic screwdriver like a memento? When he didn't have it for years. Did he only just remember he had it? Did he put it down somewhere and forget during all the other times we saw him? Was it
it happens.
Was it in his back pocket? Was it under the plunger?
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
Why would you say that? That's not a normal thing to say.
No. When do we ever say anything that's normal?
Margaret said because she's a creep.
Fair enough.
Yeah, called it.
Yep. Have we ever seen the episode?
You can see it's not moving. You don't need to.
Oh, you do.
You don't need to use a felt marker on the sobbing window.
Oh, you do.
That'll never come up.
Do we see the episode where she meets Jane Austen, or is that just a second allusion?
That's just. Let's just throw it in to point out that she's still a time traveler, I guess.
Right.
Reporter coming in of CGI. Sorry, KLM.
I mean, those planes just look terrible, don't they? They just look out of proportion with where they go. I mean, if a plane was flying that low over a resort, you'd be...
Yeah, you would be a little bit. Although, there are certain bits of San Diego, if you happen to be sitting in a bar, you can actually wave at the people as they come into land. The flight path into the airport is right low over a certain part of the city. It's quite funny.
A bit scary.
It is a little bit.
Newsreader speaks in
language.
Well, where did she?
Don't you all? Bloody newsreader's always speaking in their own language.
She didn't, did she use the motorbike much in the last series?
Morgan. Morgan thinks the plane's on an airplane mode.
Yay!
You need to speak louder, because I just keep... I mean, I'm going to reach the stage where I'm just going to steal all your jokes and say, guess what I just said?
No. Well, to be fair, that's pretty much how
another
you...
Another stinger for you.
That's just your act in a nutshell.
Absolutely. It's funny because it's true.
Yep. How did she get tied into UNIT, by the way? Oh.
Oops.
Laura now works out what the mute button's for. Yeah, how did Clara get tied into
episode?
Oh dear. How did Clara get tied into UNIT quite so much?
Just because they know that she's there. Did I mention I'm not well?
No, you didn't, and you should have done. And I hope you get better soon. Don't die on the podcast, although it will boost numbers because people love that shit.
It will boost numbers, can you imagine? Oh, this is the one where this happens.
Yep.
Oh, excellent.
It'll go viral, I tell you. Podcaster dies live on air.
The Doctor Channel.
W, as it's known over here.
Thank you.
It just reminds me, Kate Lethbridge Stewart just always, to me, looks like she's just getting over a cold. She's got that kind of... Which brings me to the bit I was going to mention was the fact that I don't know if you remember, kind of, and I don't know if like it was because it was held in very kind of low regard and people commented the fact they loved Missy so much. In the run-up to season 9, they kept really, really pushing the fact that Missy was going to be in the two-part opener. Like, they were really kind of really ramming it
home. Oh, right. Apparently, I don't know where, I think I heard this, I remember reading this somewhere, I remember hearing this. Her outfit is based on Mary Poppins because of a reference to St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yeah. Bong.
Hang on, isn't that where the Three Doctors was filmed? In Spain?
The Two Doctors.
Two Doctors, sorry. The one where they went to Spain for no reason. Isn't that there?
Could be. The Three Doctors was filmed in an antimatter universe, which was a lot more difficult for the BBC to get all the equipment over to.
That's very true. Actually, that's a good point. They do. They go from 3 to 2 to 5, don't they?
They go 3 to 5 to 2.
Or is it 3-5-2? They do it in that order.
This is some kind of football formation that you were talking about.
Yeah, why not?
And Troughton,
oh my god, they changed the formation.
Troughton's in all the multi-doctor episodes of the I think he's the one doctor to be in all the multi-doctor episodes of the run, obviously. He's not dimensions and time. They just decapitated him.
Yeah, well he's not professional enough. He just decided to not turn up for the Dimensions in Time one. I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
I know Baker gets all of this stick for doing that, but no.
Yeah, everyone forgets Troughton didn't bother turning up. Threw his toys out the cop. Or coffin.
The master is
a woman.
Well, they did.
Why is the sun directly overhead?
It's a good point.
Because
the sun is never directly overhead.
Well, technically, it's always above your head because it's out there
it's
in space.
Never directly overhead.
Unless you're living
not
in the
to the point where a plane can
block out
be
the sun.
Positioned directly in front, like some kind of aero eclipse.
Oh, aero eclipse is really nice if you had one of them. Bit dark, but really nice. Yes, to go back to Morgan's point, I believe that people did lose their shit over the Master being a Missy. Yes.
And then, but there were a lot more people became open to it when they realised that they really liked Michelle Gomez.
Yep.
Whereas a lot less people who, that's not even true. Lot less people that were initially up in arms about the Doctor being a woman got on side, but I think some people have.
I still think there's, I mean, I think Jodie's won a lot of people over, but I also think that a certain faction have realised that that's not a drum they can bang anymore.
Yeah. So they just blame Chibnall.
Yeah,
right?
they've moved across to criticising Chibnall for everything. But actually,
can I just point out the one of those is a lie? Can you work out which one?
Of my sentence or on screen?
The three facts. Ever since he was a little girl. I'm just wondering in my head canon whether this iteration of the Master is aware
of what's to come.
Of what's to come. With the timeless child. Is this incarnation of, does that kind of confirm that this incarnation of the Master is after the current?
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
They still haven't definitively stated, although apparently there's a short story that apparently definitively does, but you know, the canonicity of that.
I see, I think one of the strengths of Who is that they don't definitively say a lot of stuff because it leaves it flexible. Because so much was made up on the Who back in the day, such as he only ended up having two hearts partway through Troughton's run or something. And they kind of just evolved it and adapted it and created shit as they went. You can now pretty much, as long as you don't definitively say anything, move stuff around. But I think, yeah, I'd miss that line. That's quite an interesting...
It's like when we do audits and work, we've got like work instructions for how we do stuff, and we find out very quickly the key is to make the work instruction as vague as possible to give you wiggle room. Whereas we just did write stuff that was very definitive, and then when we got audited, we went, well, you don't actually do that. We're like, oh, we used to. Well, you didn't change the work instruction. Oh, well, fail.
Yep.
This is Doctor Who. The Doctor Who series Bible is a public sector work instruction.
I that would actually make an awful lot of sense.
Yeah, you've no idea.
Yeah, just someone comes along and just adds to the Word document or adds an extra layer to the Excel spreadsheet. Oh, hello. This is the comeback concert for Queen, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That was the start of We Will Rock You there.
That was.
As well, when they were doing lots of the kind of little kind of YouTube videos on the Doctor Who channel, again on the run up to Series 9 as well, but even through bits of season 8, well, after season 8, when it became clear who Missy was, etc., they used Michelle Gomez more than they were using Peter Capaldi at one point.
Yeah, interesting.
They were just totally up for it, clearly. And they used her a lot through.
Well, I guess if your audience feedback is, oh my God, she's amazing, then you might as well just milk it for all you can. It's interesting, actually, that they said that was Essex in 1138 AD, but it hasn't changed that much since then. That was still Colchester on a Saturday evening.
It was, and they still don't like people who are different.
No.
It's actually, there's a school of thought that's taking a step back.
Oh, Colchester has taken many a step back.
Oh, there's a magician. Hey. But where's the apprentice?
Around the back, getting all the mops to dance. Having taken a shitload of LSD.
Of course, when you're just watching the subtitles, you know, I do know the word, but in my head, just for giggles, I read this, face me, magic Ian.
I can't, just
like that.
I've got questions as to how we get a tank back then and no one looks surprised, but I would love to know at what point Capaldi just went, do you know what? I've always wanted to play guitar as a character. And they went, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a guitar. Let's just change you from the grumpy doctor into...
I mean, this is it, isn't it? I mean, this is where I think they found the doctor. But it's such a seismic shift.
Between this and the end of the last series?
Yeah. Yes. Also, I just realised...
Oh my god, he's got a personality!
Cunning way of getting in, introducing the sonic sunglasses and getting rid of the screwdriver. I've only just twigged that's a very shrewd move.
Well, everybody hated the sonic sunglasses, didn't
they? Oh, they did, but this narratively speaking, when you leave your sonic screwdriver in the hands of a small child in a field full of hands, then you might as well come up with something else, and that does kind of go with the guitar look. I'm not totally sure that guitarists in sunglasses always come with a tank, but having said that, I never saw Manowar live, so...
So it does look like he's having a bit of a midlife crisis or an
end. He does, but yeah, somebody taking up stand-up for the first time.
Yep.
I've been a musician, I've been a doctor, but you know what? I'm in my 50s now. I'm just going to head over to an open mic. Really busy open mic, it has to be said.
Yep.
This is back in the days when there weren't that many comedians around clogging up the circuit.
And you could, you know, venues were open, they didn't care about the plague.
There wasn't that set time when you had to go off stage as well. This guy's done a type five.
Well, this is it. I mean, he's 5 to 7 minutes. The light must be flashing big time by now. So I can never think of without remembering. I did a gig at the Stand. I think it was Glasgow. Is Glasgow the one that Stuart Lee filmed at? Where the Edinburgh Stand is the long stage down the wall.
Yeah. Edinburgh's the long stage down the hall. Stuart Lee, that Glasgow Stand.
Yeah, it was a Glasgow Stand. And there was a new kid, I can't remember his name, who got told he could do 5 minutes. He was obviously local. Yeah. He just kind of spoke to the right person and managed to get on the bill. And he was allowed to do a quick 5 minutes, as long as it was 5 minutes. At 7 minutes, the light was flashing so much it would have triggered epilepsy. At 8 minutes, they just cut his mic and the MC just went on and basically dragged him off stage.
That happens quite a lot.
And when we were all backstage afterwards, he went, "I didn't see the lights. I didn't see the light flashing. They said there'd be a light flashing. I didn't see a light flashing." And there were three of us who were standing at the back of the room while he was on. And we all went, "Mate, we saw it and we weren't on stage." And I can't decide whether he was just that young white arrogance of "I can do whatever I want," or he was just so shit scared nervous that he was just zoned in on one person in the front and didn't see anything.
Possibly the latter, but you tend to find that people that suffer from the latter have the pretense of the former because they think it will hold them in better stead.
I favour the former, I've got to say. Can we also point out that we now have the proper hair?
For Clara? Yeah, quite like Clara's cut now.
Yep. And we're full Dr. Buffon. I'm not totally sure that the doctor needs to wear a hoodie, but, you know, I'm not going to complain because I do tend to wear them a lot. I never quite clocked what guitar he's playing. It doesn't look like a cool guitar, unless it's an Ibanez.
The BBC usually try to keep away from brand names.
Oh, that's true. In that case, it's probably an Axe guitar that you could get for £75 with a little amp back in the 90s. It looked good, but they sounded shit.
That was a generic snake as well.
It was, yes. Other snakes are available.
Cobras.
Well, you can't have a cobra anymore because people will assume you're making some critical comment about the government. Ooh, that's clever.
Jesus.
You don't just leave your guitar in the dirt. Don't get run over by a tank.
Doctor never goes the other way, does it? You don't have like a snake creature that then starts to resemble a man. They go, "Oh my goodness."
No. The CGI's not great again, is it? That's a little bit Windows Paint.
I've said before, I'm never critical of the CGI Doctor because I remember how it used to be?
Well, I mean, having gone back to season 8 of Pertwee, yeah, the special effects were ropey, but, to coin a phrase, it was a different time. You're kind of expecting, what year would this have been now, do we say? 26? We can't be 2016, can we? 2014?
2016? I think it's 2015.
I'm looking to
for this one?
Yeah, for this one.
Yeah, it's 2015.
Cheap CGI should have been available in 2015.
And it was, we just witnessed it.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. Better cheap CGI should have been available. Can't even really imagine Davros calling up, I need a snake human. Why? Well, I want him to deliver something.
Why?
Why don't you just...
Buy a snake human.
Yeah, DPD are available, Dav.
Yeah, but it probably wouldn't have reached them.
No, that's Yodel. DPD do turn up, just not always when they say they will.
That's sort of been a one-part episode. The Doctor just walks to the TARDIS and there's a card saying, sorry, we missed you. Well, I wonder what that was.
I think they should have made the Kablam Man episode a two-parter, and one half of that was just the Doctor waiting in.
and still discovered a message saying, yep, "Master, and I was here all day."
Yeah, that's the one. There's still a card under the mat.
I'm in control of all the time and space. There's no way you missed me.
You've left it in the bin. What bin? I don't know what bin is
that. And one tiny, tiny point that's just occurred to me. Historically, the Doctor has been able to lick a bit of tree bark, sniff a leaf, wink three times and click the fingers and stick a finger in there and know exactly what planet they're on and when. Mm. I know there's more has been made of that as a sort of whimsical Jodie thing, but the other guys have done it as well. How did he manage to rock up on Skaro and not know? Or was Davros not on Skaro when he was a boy?
But I don't know if he definitively... He just landed. He hadn't had the chance to lick anything.
No, he's just gone out the TARDIS, seen a load of hands with eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, surely that would tip you off, wouldn't it? Skaro?
Otherwise, what's he supposed to do? Just go in sucking fingers? That yes. would have been a weird start of the series, wouldn't it? Just like, give me the Doctor just literally kneels down and just starts giving Felicio to the floor. And we're back in series two.
And you're just thinking, still better than season eight.
Yep.
But he just said that, but there's nothing definitive. Well, maybe I'm wrong because I've only been half watching. Wait, is there any point that he definitively goes, oh my God, I'm on Skaro?
Well, no, he doesn't, and that's kind of my point is he would surely, he'd been there a couple of times.
Yeah, but maybe he knew, but he didn't think it was an important piece of information.
Okay, I mean, I know it had changed a bit, you know, towns evolve. In Skaro's case, they built entire underworlds. Oh, that's a callback.
To Asylum of the Daleks.
That's the one. It's almost like it's all linked. It's clever. It's like Moffat knew what he was doing. He didn't. Hello, what? That's a shift. Isn't that kind of like getting an Uber when you've got your own taxi?
It's Noel Edmonds buying a taxi so he can skip past the traffic jams in London, isn't it?
Yep. I still think it's a shame that Blobby World went bankrupt.
Do you?
No. In entirely unrelated news, I did the Safari is a goodie punchline thing from On Safari with Biggins that neither of you got. Do you know who his assistant was on Safari back in the early 80s?
Sophie Aldred.
You're so close. It was the lay-by lover herself, Gillian Tailforth.
Ah, why is that close? because he's used to blow things up.
Yes. Yeah, let's go with that. Ace used to also put inappropriate things in her mouth.
Jesus Christ. The hand of Omega.
Yep, you see. It's... I mean, in a way, that all ties back to how the Doctor could have known that he was on Skaro. It's all linked. Again, Moffat, genius.
If Sophie Aldridge was listening to this, Sophie, I apologise for that. You're the best classic companion.
If Sophie Aldred is actually listening to this, I'll be fucking amazed.
Yeah, when Missy dissipated, it was a different colour. Come on, she'll know it's a teleport.
This is not... Is this as good a prison scene as Robot of Sherwood? Over to our prison scenes expert.
It's a lot shorter.
Ah, so better then. It's not dark. I mean, I know visually it's totally, but it feels a lot darker already, this series, doesn't it? Clara's wearing darker clothing. The colour palette is more muted. He's wearing dark sunglasses and playing a guitar. It all feels a bit more gothic.
Again, it goes back to my take on it, the first series of A New Doctor is usually a little ropier than the subsequent ones as they're trying to find their feet.
Yeah, totally. This, I think this was where that was most apparent.
So far.
Well, do you know, jumping forward a little bit, Series 11's a strange one, right? Because Chibnall walked in and wanted to do nothing. They went back to the kind of continuity. And he mentions the Timeless Child once in the second episode, which I think Chris Chibnall wrote. He has somebody mentioned the Timeless Child.
Yeah.
And then that's it for Ark. But now people are talking about the fact that Chibnall's got a 3-year plan, and you're kind of going, really, didn't have a 3-year plan? Because he did fuck all with one of those years.
Yeah, excuse me.
Unless Tim Shaw comes back, yeah. unless the big bad of Series 13 is Rosa Parks.
Well, we've all seen it coming. I know a lot of people would be on board with that. They suspected as much all along. Can we just pause and reflect on the fact there appears to be a washing machine in Davros's bedroom? What does he need a washing machine for? Does he get dirty gloves? What?
Just like when you're on your way out, you're going to be dribbling down yourself and everything. You're going to need to change clothes a few times a day.
Oh, maybe.
Who does that? where is the nurse of the Davros?
Ah, that's coming up in Season 13.
The nurse of Davros.
The nurse of Davros. Chibnall's working on that already.
Davros constantly needs to wash stuff as well, because Capaldi keeps coming in and just licking stuff.
Oh, I've got to wash my jacket again.
For fuck's sake.
I suppose, I mean, Davros just looks bored.
He actually just looked a wee bit like an unhappy Muppet. You know, when you watch the Muppet shows and they're just kind of going, ah.
Yes.
Unlimited power, unlimited rice pudding. I mean, of all of the McCoy quotes they could have used.
Yep.
I stand by that one.
I forgot that they brought that back. Still arguably Baker's finest scene.
I still prefer his scene in Blackadder 2.
How much you charge for a good, hard... No, that's the wrong character. you have a woman's hand.
You have a woman's hand, my lord.
Yes. Who played the guy soliciting when Baldrick was around there?
Oh, gosh.
How much you charge for a good, hard shack?
Well, we got tuppence. I can't remember now.
tell me a story like my old mum used to.
Yeah, just like sad, melancholy Davros.
I know everyone raves about Blackadder 4, and the final episode is absolutely amazing.
But series 3 is better.
I think season 2 is better.
I think season 3 is definitely better. Season 3 is my favourite series of Blackadder.
Okay.
Alex, please.
I've never actually managed to watch all of season 1.
Season 3 is the first one that gets the dynamic of who everybody is right.
Yeah.
Obviously, moving... Percy out and bring Hugh Laurie in, that's the clincher.
Yeah.
But you can see why, Paul received the Blackadder.
Which was awful.
Then you've got 3 years between that and Blackadder 2, which ironed a lot of the issues out.
Yeah. Well, it
helped. Season 3 was written and produced in a year. And it's the one which I find the best because of that, because it's just with. Doing this, we're putting everybody in, and we're going to work to a time restraint rather than Blackadder 2, which had 2 years to formulate. Sorry, Blackadder 4, which had 2 years to formulate.
Yeah. I mean, I think, obviously, what helped Blackadder 2 enormously was someone taking Rowan to one side and went, you're not a writer, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, much as I'm not a modern fan of Tory-loving Ben Elton, he made a hell of a difference.
Oh,
to...
no, right, it's Willie, isn't it?
Do you know what?
The little
Scarrow.
Bit of sauce.
Scarrow, there you go.
There we go, thank you.
But an old man goes to die. Good man goes to war. There are elements of the first series of Blackadder which I think are really good.
Hang on.
How is that Dalek travelling across rocks? Or have we had that they can hover and fly by now? We have, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Then carry on.
Just remembrance of the Daleks. Since 1988.
How do they carry that there? They haven't got hands.
Get little plungery things.
Ah, yes. Things you can do with a plunger.
Yep.
That's a different podcast.
What have you got?
Nope, it's back in the kitchen.
No!
Everyone knows this. I'm in a different area now.
No, because there's
I've
still
moved
a,
around the room.
There's still a green screen behind you. That's all I've noticed.
But it's more central now.
Yeah, you're talking to the person who walked into the kitchen yesterday and wondered why someone had opened the curtains. And it turned out they cleaned the window. I knew it was brighter. I just didn't realise why. I genuinely thought someone had lifted the blind. The blind hasn't been down in there for 5 years. Why is that red Dalek made of Lego?
I think they've nailed the sets and that for the Dalek sets, and that's better than they have at any other point in the kind of New Who run. I think that's just looks awesome.
It really does.
Got that real kind of retro throwback feel about it.
Yeah.
Still got stairs, though. You wouldn't have stairs in a Dalek thingy. She'd have run up a ramp.
That's a fair point.
I kind of like as well, she's got the magnetism of John Sim, but without the madness, just more malevolence.
Yeah.
I think she's so much better than John Sim.
Yeah.
And I like John Sim.
I loved him, but she's so much better. What?
Blue.
Yeah.
The fading, she phased in blue. It was set at the end of the last episode that we watched. That Missy teleported, which is why she's here now.
Oh.
And it's a blue field. Notice everyone that she kills bursts into red.
Noted. I had.
So by this point, it's just like, right, okay, so she's teleporting. For me, it's just like, okay, so she's teleporting.
I completely did not pick up on that at the time. Or now. But then we have already established I'm not that observant. I mean, you've got to love the fact that they went full on classic Davros.
Mm.
Just for some reason stuck him in a Sisters of Mercy video with lots of pipes. Yep, noted.
Everyone just went, oh, thank God.
Yes, that cheer you hear in the background.
Although at this point, as I've said, I really like Clara now.
Oh, surely it was at this point you were going, yes, they're going to bring Ace back.
Yes. I do that every time. It's go, oh, introducing a classic companion. Although I will say that, and again, apologies if you're listening, Sophie Aldred, I was slightly underwhelmed by the 13th Doctor Ace book that Sophie Aldred wrote.
I've not read that. When did you get your
blue
Alex Kingston book from, by the way?
Forbidden Planet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll send you the link.
Not that I'm, you know, tempted, but doesn't hurt to take a look, does it?
No. Ooh.
We're back in the field of hands. And then Morgan comes barreling through in a combine harvester.
Just destroys them all.
Yeah.
Not for the first time. But the hands with eyes, that's Stephen Moffat just saying, if you keep touching it, you'll go blind.
Yeah.
When are we going to the next episode? It just didn't have Davros and the Daleks in it. He's just ended up kind of wiping blood off. And just kind of going, right, what next?
Let's go to the third moon of Fwachform.
Oh, not again.
Have we paused yet?
Oh, we can. Yep. That was Davros and the Daleks, created by Terry Nation. That's a really belting opening episode for a series, isn't it?
Yep.
Wow, it's absolutely... It's got everything you want. It's got a classic hero, throwback to things, the further throwback to things, and round things everywhere, tying in with the TARDIS.
It's got everything you want. Michelle Gomez.
Yep. They kill Clara.
They kill Clara. Again, it's not even the first time they've done that.
No, they can never make out their mind there, can they? But that was that really did feel like it was foot on the gas. They came back and went, we know now what we're doing. But like I said, I would just love to know who had the conversation and came up with, shove it, we're going to give him sunglasses and a guitar.
Probably Capaldi.
I reckon it must have been. Because he's having too much fun for it not to be his idea.
Yeah. Which, to be honest, you know, usually, and we've said that before, what they usually do is they take what they can from the actor in a row. And again, that's what they usually, you find in the kind of first series of Doctor Who, is the fact that they're almost kind of taking prompts from. You know, they did it with Tom Baker as well, quite definitively. You know, Tom Baker really made that role as one sort of thing. So they're almost kind of like, they're getting a feel around the character as well. And I think that the mistake Capaldi made was that he tried to defer to Stephen Moffat, and Stephen Moffat was trying to defer to Capaldi, and they really just couldn't get it. Because, I mean, as we've said before, some of the early Matt Smith episodes were apparently written for Tennant, but Matt Smith really puts his identity onto them.
So could it be that some of the early episodes for Capaldi were actually written for Chris Marshall?
It could be.
Well, what a missed opportunity that was. This was the fifth story to be filmed in Spanish territory.
What were the other four?
So yes, it was in Spain. It was in Spain. Early scene.
So what are the other three then? We've got two of them.
Capaldi was playing the guitar.
Yep, we know that.
You're asking about the guitar?
Yes.
Peter Capaldi had a saying picking the guitar and described it as like a Fender Stratocaster that has been described to someone who had never seen one.
Yay! I get that completely, totally. And I kind of like the head on the angled head. It's a very metal guitar, rather than sort of a classic rock guitar, which I kind of like about it. It's the sort of guitar Manowar would play, but no one's ever heard of them. Right, are we going to have anything else to say about this, or shall we go, wow, that was good, on to the next one, pause, say goodbye, and dive in?
Yeah.
Right. Wow, that was good, pause, say goodbye, dive in. We're going to fuck off for 2 minutes, dear listener, and then we'll be back with next week's episode. We're doing it now, you have to wait a few days, because we're just feeling like that.
Because that's how time works.
Exactly. And I'm going to go and learn to play guitar while we're gone. In the meantime, that's been them. This has been me. We'll be back in a sec. Bye.
Bye.